Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Let's get into the Word. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's very early. Tell him that. Why, out in Montana, it's 10:50, you know. But no, we're in Wisconsin, that's right. Let's get the PowerPoint going here, guys, and let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Came here to tell you today that if you are saved, if you are born again, you are an ambassador. Hallelujah. Let's read it, beginning in verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Let's all say that together. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Now that is the truth. So this morning, we're going to start out by understanding what an ambassador is. So everybody scream right at the top of your voice, what is an ambassador, doctor? All right, thank you for screaming. That was good. An ambassador is an authorized representative of a king or president who is sent to a foreign culture or nation. The United States of America has ambassadors to many nations of the world. It's really a very high and privileged position. They are appointed by our president. They're confirmed by our Congress. And they go, and when they go, let's say we send an ambassador to France. The main point of contact for anybody to know in France about the USA is the ambassador and his staff and the people that are there. To be an ambassador, you have to know the language, you have to know the customs and culture of the people. For some ambassadors, this requires years of study. Some ambassadors have lived in the nations where they are now sent. There's all kinds of different ways it happens, but it is a very high and distinguished position. And the Bible is telling us today that you, as a son or a daughter of this Father in heaven, are an ambassador. But your ambassadorship is not for the United States of America. It's for the kingdom of God that you represent. You see, you are a dual citizen. I have to warn you about that too, okay? You are a citizen here in the United States. Praise God for that. We love our nation and our rights and all our stuff we have, right? It's the most wonderful nation on earth for all of that. But you are also a citizen of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So you are a dual citizen. So you are an ideal person to be an ambassador. Now, not only that, your citizenship in the kingdom of heaven gives you some amazing abilities to reach into people's lives, like with love, like with power, like with healings, like with the miracles that Jesus did and told us we should be doing. Hallelujah. And so, as an ambassador, most of you here today have lived in this country your whole life. You are an ideal person to be sent from the kingdom of heaven to Wisconsin and Sparta and the surrounding territory, because you know the language, you know the culture, You know how people operate. You know how they respond here. You're a perfect person. You just have to realize your ambassadorship, and you have to act and live and move in it as you go about your everyday life. So today, I am going to give you your ambassadorial training. Look at your neighbor right now and tell him, I am going to be trained. Go ahead, tell him. Everybody hold their finger up like this. Point it. Be rude now. Point it right at your neighbor and tell him, you are going to be trained too. All right, here we go. Ambassadorial training number one. Hallelujah. Listen to those around you when you are out in public. Listen to those around you when you are out in public. I know you all love to be ambassadors here when you come to church, and that's good. But where we really need you is out at Walmart and Shopko and Target and your workplace and school, wherever you go in the coming and going of everyday life, that's where we need you to be an ambassador. So everyone scream at the top of your voice, tell us a story, doctor.
Tell us a story, doctor.
Okay, so my wife and I, by the way, greetings for her. She sends her love to all of you. She couldn't come on this trip, so she sent Pete. Hallelujah. So and thanks for your ministry here, Pete. You did a great job this morning. Amen? Amen. So my wife and I were Christmas shopping, and we got tired, and we were hungry, and we didn't want to fix food at home, so we stopped in at Arby's. We are ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven to Arby's. Okay? So we order our food, we sit down at our table, at our booth, and as we always do, we prayed over our food. And this large gentleman who was diagonally across from us, as soon as we prayed for our food, started saying things. And at first I thought he was mocking us. He goes, whoa, Christians, you know, praying for their food. And he takes off on this tirade about, yeah, church and people get hurt in church. And I'm like, boy, something happened to you. But I said that to myself. Something must have happened to you, buddy. And I'm like, wow. And we, Sherry and I didn't say a thing. We just sat there eating our food. And he's going off on all kinds of stuff. But then, right toward the end of our eating, the Lord just let me see inside of this guy. And expect that, ambassadors, when you're out there. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for church on Sunday morning. Now, praise God. We've had a wonderful time here. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, all kinds of stuff's been happening here. But where it's needed even more than here is out there. Can you say amen to that? All right. So we got done eating, and I got up, and I walked over to him, and Sherry did too. And I just started talking to him. And then I just said this, can I pray for you? And that's really probably the best thing to ask people when you're out there in public. And then after they say yes, don't pray for them, okay? I mean, don't pray in the sense of begging God, oh, God, would you please come into this situation? Oh, God, you know. Take authority that is in you by the name of Jesus. Amen? The power of that blood. Jesus said in Luke 10, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. You have that authority as a believer. And then you're not speaking to the person, you're speaking to the disease or the issue or the depression or whatever it is. So in this guy's case, this was some abuse he suffered back in his early life, and the Lord just let me see it clearly, prophetically, and I just spoke to it. And he's like, whoa, whoa, you know what I mean? He's like, wow. And stuff was happening, and he was near weeping, you know, after all this stuff he said. He said, wow, okay. So we're kind of done, and I just give him my business card, and I say, hey, we were fairly close to home. We were about 10 miles from home, about 15 miles from Rush City, where our building is. I said, well, we have a Friday night service. Last Friday of every month, just come on over. We'd love to have you be in our service. And we kind of forgot about it. And about 5 weeks later, Sherry was working in the office there, and the phone call came. The phone call said, hi, this is Jerry. Remember me from Arby's? She goes, Arby's, yeah. Oh, Arby's, yeah, Christmas time, yeah. All that, yeah, yeah, he said. This was what he said. I am a changed man. From that one encounter with the living God and him showing me his love and healing the hurt and pain of my past, he said, my wife will tell you I'm a different husband. My children will tell you I'm a different father. Everything has changed, he's telling to Sherry. And I'm kind of listening. Oh, I'm in the next office over it. I'm kind of, wow, hallelujah. Then he says, you didn't know this, but I'm related to you. And Sherry goes, oh, really? And he says, yes, I am the husband of your sister-in-law's sister. Okay, yeah, it's kind of out there, but... And then my mind flashed to, yeah, that's right. The first husband died. We knew him, but we never met the second husband when she remarried. And this is him, Jerry. And now, and then he says to my wife, hey, don't tell anybody in the family about this. And guess what? The first family gathering we go to after that, everybody's talking about Jerry. And we're just sitting there, we didn't say anything. Somebody's been testifying, hallelujah. But Jerry got set free with an encounter in an Arby's, hallelujah. I just had to be an ambassador, amen? Amen. I'll say amen for you. Okay. All right, here's ambassadorial training number two. We got to move fast here today. Number two is this, rejection is not personal. I am training you for your ambassadorial duties out there. If you do this very much, you are going to run into rejection. Trust me. Okay? It happens. There are two kinds of rejection. There's soft rejection, where the person doesn't really intend to reject you. And then there's hard rejection that is, get out of my face, you blankety blank. And don't tell me this stuff. Okay? Two kinds. And the first kind I experienced in my home Walmart there in Cambridge, Minnesota. I'm standing in line. I had my oil changed on my car, and I'm standing in line to pay. And this guy that's in front of me is like Mr. Christian, okay? He's got a cap on with a 3-inch cross on the front of it. He's got a resurrection T-shirt front and back. And I'm like, dude, we got us a believer here. And he's talking real loud to his wife, and all he's talking about is his pain in his back. Do I remember number one? We listen to what's going on around us out in public. He goes, oh, my back is killing me, and he's on and on and on. We're standing in this line, and I'm like, okay. I'm just storing it up, getting ready for the right moment. So he pays, and I step up. And he and his wife don't leave. They just stay kind of over by the car polishing stuff in there. And I pay, and then I turn to him and I say, hey, man, I couldn't help but hearing you talk about your back. Oh, it's killing me. He went on a 15-minute dissertation on his back, including Mayo Clinic and Minneapolis hospitals and all of that. It was like, wow, I should have taken notes, Finally, after all that, too much information, right? After all of that, I got a word in edgewise, and I said, well, the God I serve heals. Could I pray for a healing in your back? Do you know what he said? Oh, no, we don't have time for that. And I'm like, really? It would only taken about 40 seconds. And as he's taken his wife's hand, and they're starting to walk away, what do you do? you try to salvage something for the kingdom out of it. So I caught his wife's eye and I said, "You pray for him at home." She winked back at me. She's like, "I will." You know, I mean, what else can you do? You try to salvage something. And now that was a soft rejection. He wasn't really getting in my face or anything. Everyone scream right out loud, "Tell us about a hard rejection, doctor." Okay. This one actually happened right over here in La Crosse, on Alaska, actually. We were doing a weekend of meetings, and part of the meetings were doing treasure hunting. Everybody familiar with treasure hunting? That's where you get the clues, and you go out, and you find them. The treasure is people, so forth. So I was just a participant. There was another guy that was leading it, and he was doing a great job. And I got my clues. Okay, here were my clues in the treasure hunt. J.C. Penney, red shirt, young child. That's what I've got. So I step outside the church and look across the street, and there's a J.C. Penney. I'm going, bingo, hallelujah. So I walk into the J.C. Penney, and I look around in the store. It's red shirt day for all the employees. You military people, that's what you call a target-rich environment. Okay. So what do you do? There are dozens of people with red shirts on. So I said, well, I'll go over by the store where the store joins onto the mall. So I'm standing there, and this tall young man comes walking in out of the mall with a red shirt. Now he's inside JCPenney. He's holding the hand of about a three-year-old boy. I'm like, hallelujah, here's my guy. And I just walk right up to him and say, "Hey, man, I've got these clues. I'm on a treasure hunt, and I think you might be the treasure. Look at this." You know what he said? "You get your blankety blank out of my face. I'm not participating in any kind of this blankety blank." And he swung his arm, almost hit me, not intentionally, but he swung his arm, grabbed the kid's hand, and went marching back out into the mall. I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. A hard rejection. Listen, it will happen. Pick yourself up and get back up and say, Jesus is Lord. Amen? So I did. So I went back into the store and I said, well, maybe I better go stand by the red shirts display. So I did. And this young family came walking up, two kids, a husband and wife, and the wife was very pregnant. And I said, hey, can I pray for you guys? Oh, yeah. What do you need in your life? Oh, this pregnancy. We don't know. You know, it's been bad and things happen and we don't know what's going to happen with this child. So we just prayed about maybe 50, 60 second prayer. And the glory of God just came in there. Seriously, right in JCPenney. Okay, so you know, treasure hunts, you go back and you all join together and give your testimonies and stuff. So I'm giving mine from JCPenney. And this guy from the church there, so he says, you said this family had two kids and the wife was very pregnant. I said, yeah. He pulls out this phone. He shows me a picture. He says, is that her? I go, yeah, that's her. He said, that's my cousin. And I'm like, really? I said, well, she has had, and her whole family has had a touch of Jesus. And you know what's happening? They are now at that church. The baby was born. It was perfect. Hallelujah. No, nothing wrong with the baby. And they're attending the church every Sunday there now in on Alaska. Hallelujah. Give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Let's go to number three. You are carrying a presence much greater than yourself. Please realize that. The reason we come together and the reason we're in this presence that is so awesome, in the house here, is one of the reasons is this presence, this isn't like the Old Testament, like, you know, where it's only in one place and you got to go there. Remember, people had to go wherever they were, they had to get to Jerusalem and they had to somehow do the thing there. No, this presence is portable. It's mobile. You come in here to get it on you. When you go out of here, this presence goes with you. Can you say amen to that? It's really true. Therefore, unusual and amazing things can happen. Everyone scream right out loud, "Tell us one from North Dakota, doctor." Now look, if God can move in North Dakota, he sure can move in Wisconsin, right? All right. Okay, so I'm doing a weekend of meetings in this church. And the pastor calls me on Saturday morning and says, "Hey, let's go to lunch." I said, "Great, I like lunch." So we're sitting in this booth, and our waiter comes up. His name is Ryan. He's 22 years old. His second day on the job, he's telling us all this, "I'm not sure if I can serve you well. I'll do my best." And he's all uncertain about himself. We say, "Ryan, calm down. You're going to do great. It's going to be wonderful." So we go through the whole meal. He brings the food. We eat. And now he's coming for last run. That's where he brings the bill, and we say goodbye, and all that stuff. And as he's walking, this restaurant had a kind of a long aisle in it, kind of like this aisle here, about that long. And he's walking to come to us to bring our bill, and all of a sudden, the presence kicked in. And I saw him with the eyes of Jesus. I don't know how else to describe it. And he came and he stood at the end of the booth, and I looked up at him and I said, "Ryan, you did such a wonderful job of serving us." And he goes, "No, did I really?" I go, "No, I'm not kidding." And he really did. I didn't have to lie, spilled coffee on my pants, No, he didn't. It was all okay. And I said, "Can we just pray a blessing over you?" That's all I said. I didn't say, "You got to repent, you vile sinner, right now." I said, "Can I pray a blessing over you?" He said, "Oh, would you?" So I prayed, and by the way, when you're out there in public doing these, be quick. Get in and get out, okay? Don't go into the religious mode. "Oh, Lord God, as we thank thee today for our brother is here, Ryan, who hath miraculously appeared unto us to give us our bill. And now, mighty Lord God," don't do that, okay? Pray. You're an ambassador. Pray in the native tongue, of the receiver, English, And so I just prayed this 40-second blessing over him. Then the pastor got into it, and it was a lady pastor. She prayed over him. And when she prayed out her last word, here's what happened. Ryan falls to his knees right there in the restaurant, throws his hands up in the air and says, "God, I'm not running from you anymore. I'm coming home. This is your love. This is..." A prodigal comes home to Jesus bringing the bill for a meal in a restaurant. Can you give Jesus some praise? Hallelujah. Hey, it doesn't get much better than that. Seriously. Now, everybody scream right out loud. "Can we just have one more, doctor?" Scream it out. Scream it out. All right. All right, here we go. Here's number four. Whoa, we're frozen on number three. Oh, there it is. All right. Now, if you travel around the world, you stop in at our ambassadors, India or, Tanzania or wherever you go, you find out that the ambassador has a very distinguished residence called an embassy. Okay, now you're an ambassador, remember? That means your house is an embassy in your neighborhood. Now, use wisdom with this. Don't be foolish, but let God direct you and guide you, because when people need visas, get it? They need visas to go from the kingdom of the United States of America. They want to go to the kingdom of heaven. Where do they go? They have to go to the embassy. Now, this is a corporate embassy here. Praise God. People come in here, they get their visa, they get saved. Praise God. But what if all of your embassies all of a sudden became active all around this region and people started coming in and getting their visas at your house? Whoa, hallelujah. And then Sunday, you just bring them here. I think Pastor Randy would be in favor of that, actually. It's true. And don't be intimidated by the people that show up at your embassy. Now, I'll close with this. Tell your neighbor he's trying to close, okay? All right. All right. I'm not home very often on Saturday morning, but when I am, this is the prayer I pray. Oh, God, send me some Jehovah Witnesses today. I know what you're thinking. You are out of your mind. I forgot to warn you about that, okay? It's true. Our house is now on their blacklist. They will not come anymore. That's why you have to pray. Because of a couple of encounters where the love of God came so strong, they almost got saved. We were this close. Seriously, one of them was with an elder. A Jehovah Witness elder with his son. I couldn't help myself. All I could do was love on these guys. And I was actually giving them the scriptures that they were supposed to be using to argue against what I was saying. And I'd give them the scriptures before they could look them up on their tablet. I'd say, well, look in, you know, 1 Corinthians, whatever. And the boy would say, he's right, Dad. It was interesting. But it wasn't, you know, put down and, you know, I'm smarter than you or any of that. The love of God was there. And it's a sad thing. We have not had the Jehovah Witnesses since that encounter. But I am praying. Everyone scream right out loud. How far out of your mind are you, doctor? I am praying for a revival at our local Kingdom Hall there. It's right up the road from Rush City. He's God of the impossible, right? So he should be able to do that. Those people need to be saved. They need to come to the knowledge of the truth, that it's Jesus, that it's faith, and it's repentance, and you can have a relationship with him. It really is that simple. So what about you? Your home is an embassy. Be ready. It might be Jehovah Witnesses, it might be Mormons, it might just be people that are just really in bad shape. It might be people that don't look in bad shape at all. They just are there and all of a sudden, wow, hey, they stepped into the embassy. Hallelujah. You know what would happen in Sparta and this surrounding region if we all would begin to just be ambassadors? What we call revival would start to happen right away. It really would. And we wouldn't care if it was mostly at Walmart or Target or in the church or in the school or in the workplace or at the Army base out here. That'd be a good place for a revival, wouldn't it? Some of you are going, he is out of his mind. I told you that. You're an ambassador. And this isn't a big guilt thing. All right, now, all you people, you got to discharge us. You got to turn in 3 of these tomorrow morning to Pastor Andy's office. No, that's not what it's about. It's just living life as an ambassador. Living life as a Christian. In a world that calls itself secular, you are a Christian. You are a little Christ. That's what that word means. It's in the book of Acts. That's what they started calling them in Antioch. Christians. And what Jesus would do in that given situation, you'll do. And people will see him. And you won't get every one of them over the finish line every time, but some of them will, like Ryan. We got him. Man, I mean, it just kind of happened. It was awesome. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.